Hi everyone! Thank you so much for joining us today for an intro to Unreal and Mixed Reality Toolkit for HoloLens 2. We're really glad to have you here with us in AltSpace for Mixed Reality Dev Days. Let's get started with introductions. My name is Summer Wu. I'm a program manager on our Mixed Reality Developer Platform team. I'm based in Redmond, Washington, and I lead our Unreal Engine related efforts.
My name is Luis Valverde. I'm a senior software engineer based in Dublin, and I work mostly in MRTK for Unreal, specifically in the UX team module.
We're both really excited to be sharing with you today the latest and greatest in Unreal and Mixed Reality Toolkit support. We've got a lot of information to cover today, so I'm going to start it off with sharing the state of HoloLens 2 support in Unreal. Then I'll dive more into likely what developers are going to be wondering. How do you get set up in mixed reality? I'll talk a bit about some of our key HoloLens 2 features and how you'd go about using those features in an Unreal project. Then I'll talk about workflow from streaming to deployment. After that, I'll hand it off to Lewis, who will start talking about the Mixed Reality Toolkit for Unreal, with special emphasis on the UX Tools plugin, version 0.8, which we recently released. We'll then talk a bit about what's coming next in UXT, give some insight into our roadmap, and finally, we'll talk about some resources you can use to learn more about Unreal and Mixed Reality Toolkit development. Okay, so now when we released the first version of HoloLens, we only had a few platforms supporting it. We didn't have Unreal support, and one of the kind of most common requests we got from customers was customers asking for Unreal support. They wanted like that kind of powerful open source engine that Unreal provides. And so in February of 2019, just over a year ago, alongside the HoloLens 2, we announced that Unreal support would be coming. And in August of 2019, HoloLens 2 support in beta officially shipped in Unreal Engine 4.23. And this release came with all of the features developers needed to take advantage of the HoloLens 2 device and the sensors that are on it. So this came with ARM64 support, streaming from a PC to HoloLens, spatial mapping, hand and joint tracking, eye tracking, voice input, spatial anchors, camera access, QR code, and spatial audio. Then in December of 2019, as part of Unreal Engine 4.24, we released a stabilization updates to our HoloLens 2 support. So some of the key features of this release was spectator screen support for streaming, planar late-stage reprojection and stability over streaming, as well as our first ever set of sample apps that were open source. And that brings us to today, May 2020. HoloLens 2 support is now production ready in Unreal 4.25, which came out on May 5th. And some of the key features of this release are support for mobile multi-view. This allows our performance on device to hit 60 frames per second. Third camera render, Azure Spatial Anchor support for HoloLens 2, an OpenXR preview, UX tools support, and docs and tutorials. So some of you may be wondering, what can Unreal Engine do?
And they may
What's
plan.
All this hype about?
Why climb the highest
So
Why
I think this video is an excellent illustration of the rendering capabilities of Unreal Engine, what people love about it. So this is a demo that was built by Epic Games to commemorate the 50th anniversary of the Apollo mission. So this is, what you're seeing here is 7 million polygons streaming from a desktop PC to a HoloLens 2. It's in a physically based rendering environment, fully dynamic lighting and shadows. That Saturn V rocket that you saw come up, that has 84K textures on it. The photorealistic quality of this demo is truly incredible and really never seen before on a mobile device. So this is something that's open source. You can go today to the Unreal Engine docs website and download your own copy of this, get a copy of the assets, and take a look at how this was built. So now that you've hopefully been inspired by what it's possible to accomplish with Unreal in for HoloLens 2, let's dive into how you'd go about making something like this, how you'd even get set up for developing for mixed reality. So the first step after you've installed Unreal Engine 4.25 is to install the HoloLens 2 target platform. Next, you'll want to enable two required plugins, the HoloLens plugin and the Microsoft Windows Mixed Reality plugin. Next step is to start an AR session. So to do this, you'll want to create a data asset that will allow what you see, the options in the second screenshot, to pop up. And so here we're given a bunch of options to enable spatial mapping. So if you're interested in generating mesh data from your environment, you'll check the first box. If you want to generate collision for that mesh data, check the second box. Lots of great options here for you to dive into. And then finally, at the start of your level, so either in your level blueprint or perhaps your game mode, you'll call the function startARSession with the ARSession configuration file that you previously created. Last thing to note here is we highly recommend that you use these performance settings in your project. So HoloLens 2 is a mobile device. It has limited compute, and a HoloLens 2 app needs to run at 60 frames per second in order for you to avoid disorienting your users and having them experience lag in their interactions. So when you create a new project, you should choose scalable 3D or 2D, and your target hardware should be mobile/tablet. Then in project settings under rendering, you should disable occlusion culling and then enable instant stereo and mobile multiview. I won't have time to go through every single feature we support for HoloLens 2 today, so I'm going to prioritize the most commonly used features, starting with hand tracking, and specifically tracking your joints. So the HoloLens 2 gives you access to 26 joints per hand, and in Unreal, those are called key points. So the key function here is the getHandJointTransform function. So given a hand, left or right, as well as a key point, which is a joint, you can get the transform location of that joint. And then in this sample code, essentially just drawn a debug point at each of those locations. One other thing to note is that in these slides, I'm going to be using Blueprints, which is Unreal's visual no-code editor. But all of these functions translate directly to C++. And so if you want to get access to these functions in C++, you can easily do so. Okay, if you're interested in hand raise, the function you'll want to call is the getPointerPoseInfo function. So given a hand, you can get the origin, which is the center of the hand, and the direction. And in this case, I've essentially just drawn rays using that information. Unreal also provides support for getting access to hand gestures in two different ways. And there are really kind of two key gestures that Unreal provides access to. So the first is select. Select is essentially an air tap. And so if you're familiar with the HoloLens 1 paradigm of an air tap, just like in these images, it's when you tap your thumb and your index finger. And so grasp is another gesture, which is called when a user's fingers are closed on a hologram. And so you can use the functions isSelectPressed or isGrasped or isButtonClicked and choose as your button, select or grasp, to pull for these gestures. The other way to get access to gestures is to via events. And so in order to use this, at the start of your level, you would call the capture gestures function. And in this example, we've checked off tap, so we're now capturing for tap gestures. And then you'd go into your project settings and create an action mapping. In this case, from the Windows Spatial Input tap gesture to the name of a custom event, so tap event. And then based on that input action you created, you could then use that to trigger further logic in your application. And just to clarify, an air tap here is also a tap here is an air tap. To get access to eye tracking, the first step is to request the gaze input capability in project settings. A gotcha to watch out for here is that if you're streaming from PC to HoloLens 2, the remoting player automatically sets all of these capabilities. And so if you find your app is working, you're able to get eye tracking data, say, when you're streaming, but not when you run an app on device, then you probably forgot to request the proper capability and should check that. So when you do have the capability requested, this is what causes the permission dialog to appear in front of your user asking whether they want to grant access to, like, say, your gaze input in this case. So our HoloLens 2 support leverages Unreal's existing gaze data abstractions. And so the function to call here is getGazeData. And that gives you the origin and the direction. So when you call getGazeData, you only get one point for where your eyes are looking. It's between your two eyes. And so you don't get the right eye and left eye separately. Another thing to note, important to note here, is that the data you get from this function is in tracking space. And so you're going to want to transform that to world space. And so to do that, you would call the getTrackingToWorldTransform. Okay, spatial anchors are another core important concept for HoloLens 2 because they allow you to anchor your holograms so that they don't float away, they're nice and stable, they persist. So first step to using spatial anchors is to call the isWMRAnchorStoreReady function. If you get affirmation there, then there are kind of three functions you'd want to call. HoloLens 2 Spatial Anchors uses Unreal's existing AR pin abstraction. So first you'd create a named AR pin, and you'd pin that AR pin to a world transform where you want to pin your hologram. Next, you want to use the pin component to AR pin function to pin your hologram to that AR pin. And then finally, you want to save the AR pin to the WMR anchor store. Now to load spatial anchors, you'll call the load WMR anchor store AR pins function. This will give you an array of all of the AR pins in your store. So you want to loop through them. You can get the anchor ID, check it by whatever logic you want, and then pin your hologram, in this case, maybe an actor, to the AR pin using the pin component to AR pin function. We also have support for Azure Spatial Anchors in Unreal 4.25. This is for HoloLens 2 specifically. Mobile support is coming. To take a look at that, you'll want to enable both the Azure Spatial Anchors and the Azure Spatial Anchors for Windows Mixed Reality in your plugins. To get speech access, you'll want to first request the microphone capability. Then in project settings, you'll want to create speech mappings from the speech keyword that the HoloLens 2 should be listening for to the action that you want to trigger. And then from that action, you can then trigger further logic. I know that was a whirlwind tour of implementing some of our key HoloLens 2 features in Unreal, and I'm going to have to direct you to the docs for the rest. Let's switch gears now to workflow. So besides enabling you to render incredibly high poly count, like in the Mission AR demo, holographic app promoting or streaming is also super helpful to developers for rapid prototyping. There's no lag time. You don't have to wait for your project to compile or build. It's essentially instantaneous. You just press the play button in editor, and then the app appears on device, and you have full access to features like hand tracking and eye tracking, almost everything you would for an app that's running on device. And so in order to stream from a PC to HoloLens 2, you'll first want to download the holographic remoting player from the Microsoft Store. Then once you play that app, you'll be given an IP address for your device. So you just put that IP address into your project settings under Platforms Windows Mixed Reality, press Connect, and then launch your app in the VR preview, and it'll appear on your HoloLens. If you want to package an app to run on device for HoloLens 2, there are a couple required settings. Specifically, you need a project name, you need to put in a company distinguished name in the format of CN equals and then your company name. Then in project settings, you'll want to select whether you want to build for HoloLens emulation, device, or both. You'll want to generate a new signing certificate, and then finally, you can package your project for HoloLens. The last step is to deploy your project to device. So to do that, you'll want to go into your device portal. Then under Views, Apps, you can choose a file on your computer, upload your application package, install, and have your app running on device. All right, I'm now going to hand it off to Lewis to talk about the Mixed Reality Toolkit for Unreal.
Thank you so much for that great introduction to what you get out of the box to develop for HoloLens 2 in Unreal. Now I want to talk a little bit about what we've been trying to do to help developers achieve the things that they cannot achieve out of the box with Unreal. So if you have developed for HoloLens or HoloLens 2 using Unity, you will be familiar with the MRTK or Mixed Reality Toolkit. We are trying to bring some of those features to Unreal, but in a different way, in the sense that MRTK Unity is great and we've got great feedback for it from it. But one of the things that we've also heard from developers using it is that it's too monolithic. It's difficult to take just what you need. You need to opt in into the whole framework or nothing. So what we're trying to do in Unreal is to modularize it a little bit more in the sense that you can take just what you need, or at least we are creating modules that contain related functionality that you probably want to take together. The first of those modules is called UX Tools. It's a module where we are trying to implement UX controls that you can use in your HoloLens 2 applications. This module takes the form of a code and blueprint and content plugin that you can find in GitHub. It also comes with examples and documentation. To use it in your project, you just need to get the zip that you can find in the releases folder or in the releases section in the GitHub page. And zip it in your plugins folder in your project, enable the plugin in the plugins menu, and then select the option to show plugin content in the content browser. The first of the features in the plugin that I want to talk about is input simulation. Input simulation is not directly a UX feature, but we found it so important from our own experience and from our experience working with other developers that we decided to implement it as part of UX tools. Let me show you a video with input simulation in action. This is a video of me playing in the editor, and I'm showing how you, with input simulation, you get a pair of simulated hands that you can move around, you can trigger different gestures with, and you can also simulate tracking loss. This is really useful when it comes to simulating hand interactions in the editor without having to go to the device. Now, to use input simulation, you just need to enable the plugins, the UX tools plugin. You have a number of settings that you can change in the UX tools settings in the project settings. Things like where do you want to where do you want your hands to be by default, or which buttons do you want to use to trigger the different gestures, or simply what material you want to use for your hands. The next feature I want to talk about is the hand interaction actor. In UXD and also in MRTK Unity, we are trying to follow the same input model that we have implemented for the shell experience in HoloLens 2. This input model revolves around two different interaction modes. The one when you're close to the UX that you want to interact with, which we call near interaction, and the one when you're far, which we call far interaction, not surprisingly. The hand interaction actor, what it does is it implements these two interaction modes. When you're far from an object, it will cast a ray on the scene, and it will report or raise events on the object that it is hidden. When you're close to an object, it enables you to either poke, which is what you would do when you're touching a button, for example, when pressing with your finger, or grab, which is what you would do when you want to maybe translate or rotate something. To use the hand interaction actor, which is the actor that will raise these events per hand, you just need to add the actor to your scene. You can either do that in your pawn setup if you want, or you can add it directly to the scene, creating one for each hand. You can customize certain things like the parameters of the ray that is used for the far interaction mode, or other parameters for direct interaction. But out of the box, it should work quite closely to the experience that you get in the shell. Next feature building on the hand interaction actor is the pressable button. The pressable button is quite self-descriptive. It is a button that you can press with your hand, but you can also interact with it from the distance with the hand ray. It takes the form of a scene component that you add to your actor that basically represents a box that you can press with your finger. This is a bit low level, so we also, because then you'll need to hook up to the different events that are raised by the component to change your UI to reflect the different actions. For example, if you are about to touch the button, you want to highlight on the surface of the button. That's not something that the component does for you, but it gives you the events that you need to drive that logic in your UI. So we provide also a blueprint example of how to set up the UI for the button. There's a few parameters that you can customize in the pressable button component. Things that have to do with how much you press the button before it triggers an event, or how quickly it comes back. We're working on providing a more complete example or a more customizable blueprint for the button, so you don't need to go edit the example that we provide to you, and instead you can just adjust the parameters in this blueprint actor. Next feature is what we call the manipulator. The manipulator is a scene component, an actor component actually, that you add to an actor in the scene that you want to be able to translate, rotate, or scale with one or two hands. This is easier seen. So you can see there how we are using fire interaction with input simulation in the editor to translate, rotate, and scale an actor in Unreal. The only thing that you need to do to use this feature is add a component to your actor, the generic manipulator component. In the manipulator, you have settings like whether you want to use one or two-handed manipulation, how do you want the rotation to happen. In some cases, you would like the object that you are manipulating or rotating to keep a fixed orientation relative to the user, or maybe you want to rotate around the grab point, or rotate around the grabs or the object center. There are different options that we've seen throughout use that are useful for different use cases. You can also choose whether you want to enable two-handed manipulation, and if you want to be able to translate, rotate, or scale when you're using two hands. Next behavior, or next feature, is the follow behavior. The follow behavior is pretty much what you see when you open the pins panel in a HoloLens 2 or in the mixed reality portal. And you'll see that as you move around, this pins panel follows you, but it's not stick to your face, which would be really uncomfortable. but it keeps more or less in your line of view, so you can access whenever you need to easily. So that's exactly what you get when you use the follow behavior in UXD. You can see as the user looks around, the panel that is using the follow behavior remains more or less in the line of view. To customize the follow behavior, you can just go to the component. The follow behavior is an actor component that you add to your actor and you're ready to go. But then you can change things like the minimum and maximum distances or angular distances within you want to keep your actor, or you can even select a component inside the actor that you want to actually implement or be constrained by the follow behavior. What's coming next? In the version that we just shipped, 0.8, we had the features that I talked about, and upcoming, we're working on a bounding box component, EMNU, Fluent Shaders implementing the sort of visuals that you get in the shell, a text box, improved visuals. In general, we're working on getting to visuals parity with what you will get in the shell or in MRTK. And then another raft of UX controls. You can get a really good idea of what we're aiming for by looking at the UX controls that are implemented in MRTK. In general, for HoloLens 2 development, you can go to the docs at Microsoft. For the UX tools, you can go to our repository. And for other documents, I'm gonna hand it up to Summer actually, because she knows better about this.
Yeah, thanks, Lois. That was a great overview of UXT. So we have a tutorial up on our docs.microsoft.com website for building your first mixed reality app with Unreal. And then if you're interested in taking a look at sample apps, the Mission AR sample app is available on the Unreal Engine Marketplace. And we also have a GitHub repository for mixed reality Unreal samples that you can take a look at. Hey, thank you so much for joining us today. And we're looking forward to seeing what you build with Unreal and MRTK.
Thank you.